Okay, I've got some. Does anyone like blowing up balloons? Got some balloons. It's actually not that easy. Some balloons are quite hard. Do you want to distribute them? It's all given to you, and now you get to distribute them. this is quite controversial. Does anyone like Marmite in a bagel? Oh, yeah. Ooh, interesting. That was first come, first served. It's a dog-eat-dog world. There you go. Does anyone like honey in a bagel? See, they save the best till last, don't we? Do you want some bagel? Would you like some? Yeah, great. Oh yeah, I love it! Come for the Marmite. Sometimes people come to us, sometimes we go to them. And if anyone else likes honey in a bagel as well, do. Oh, good. I'm really pleased. That's great. Today's talk is called Sustainability. It's about the secret of sustainability is the sandwich of intimacy. It's like that. That's good. So that's what I do at home. I immediately clear up, just immediately. And the balloons are being blown up. Oh, thank you. Because we are going to look at some qualities that we need in increasing measure in the middle of our sandwich. I'll come to that in a minute. So, a few years ago, this is my life. I was always in debt, always. Always in that 0 to 2,000 overdraft limit on my thing. I thought it was sort of free money. I didn't really think about it. I had no idea of interest rates. I was just always, and I didn't actually think I was in debt. I just thought that's how I lived. I was always late for everything. So I lived in London, and I would always leave the time I was supposed to turn up to something in the evening. So I'd say it was 8. I'd leave at 8 and get there by 10. And that meant I always got home quite late and then had to wake up quite early for work. So it wasn't a great lifestyle. Also had quite a binge purge control to life, like overeating, then over-exercising or fasting. One year I would do 100 Christmas cards, and then the next year I'd be like, oh, Christmas cards, and did none. I was just like, all or nothing. And I was all out for Jesus. Like, I love him, my life is all about him, I totally reorientated my life, I wanted his kingdom and everything. But there was something sort of fundamentally dysfunctional about my normal life. And there's this lovely verse in Proverbs, which I've known about and found very helpful, and it sort of summed up probably what I look like, my inner life looked like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. And I sort of had this inner life that had bits and pieces that were alive, but because if you imagine those old ancient strongholds where the whole village life happened within the walls of a city, the business, the play, the family life, the kitchen, the armory, everything happened within those walls. You imagine that the best way for that to flourish and be sustainable and work was for the walls to be as strong and safe as possible and to have added extra protection of soldiers. But the very basic need was for having the walls up. And if the walls were broken down in any way, it would be very easy for the enemy to just come in and just sort of cause chaos in what could have been a lovely, prolific village life. So that was me. I was, and I'm not saying I'm not there now, but I'm saying I was there then. I was, my inner life was like a city whose walls were broken down. I lacked self-control in how I spent my finances, how I spoke, how I looked after myself, how I loved people. I just was, there's a great expression called all over the place, and that was me. However, I sort of had this sense that there's probably more. In fact, I've always had that sense, which is such a hope, isn't it? There's always more. It's such a blessing, such a gift that there's always more. And that actually there was an invitation to more wholeness and healing and freedom and to live and have an inner life that was prolific and creative and robust and everything it should be, a fountain. So in a minute, we're going to look at this passage from 1 Peter where it talks about a number of different characteristics or qualities or virtues that contribute towards an effective and productive life, one of which is self-control. But for the moment, I'm just going to pick out that word self-control from the list, which we'll read more fully in a minute. And just to say, the context is, this word is hardly used in the New Testament. The word love, and also words, other words for love, like mutual affection or brotherly kindness, also in the passage, are used hundreds of times. So the main impetus of the whole Bible, and certainly of the New Testament, is love. Love defines how we do everything. We do everything in love, for love, by love. And sometimes these other little helpful words, like self-control, which help shape or define what love looks like. Does that make sense? But the overriding vision is love. We love God, we love ourselves well, and we love our neighbour as we love ourselves. And that's wholeness, and that's fullness, and that's the goal. But there are a few times when this word self-control is used, and one time it's used by Paul is in the context of Olympic athletes, which is lovely because we've got some Olympic athletes raring to go for this summer. And it's translated into, you go into strict training in order to win the prize. It talks about what happens to you, what you have to go through and step up into in order to become a winner. And I think it's sort of like you don't have an aeroplane by accident, you don't build a business on a whim, and you don't contend for fullness of life just because you feel like it. Spiritual fitness, fullness of life, a prolific village life, winning a race, building a business, putting an aeroplane together, all require an incredible amount of focused and considered thought and collaboration and action in order to achieve that. And I think that's what Jesus demonstrated, and that's what Paul demonstrated, and that's what he calls us to. And it's an incredibly liberating way to live. It's not, I think people sometimes hear words like self-control and think, oh, that sounds restraining. But I found actually the opposite. The more I've connected with that, the more free and prolific and creative and at peace I found my life to be. So I want to recover that word. Often the enemy maligns words that he knows are very powerful. So he maligns things. So don't listen to the lies about it. Just try and connect with the truth. A very, very good father would say to us, self-control is a good thing. And maybe bring healing, certainly bring healing. Connect with that truth and you'll find why he said it. But context, 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 hundreds more words on love, on agape love, sacrificial love, on mutual affection. Even in this passage, you'll see that. And I think there's something about self-control, which is we're designed to be the alpha dog over our lives. We're designed for self-governance and self-regulation. We're not designed to be slaves or submitted or under the authority of whims, desires, fancies, feelings, what other people think. We're designed to be free to be in charge and make choices and just have jurisdiction and domain. And I think that's what self-control is about, just knowing that every choice I make is a considered choice with a consequence, and I'm fully agreed with that. I'm stepped up to that, and I want that. That's stewardship, and that's our design. And I want to recover the glory of that and a way of life that really works, really, because I've experienced it. I'm sharing my journey. Now, Greek thinking, which Paul was speaking right into in Corinth, and Peter would have been speaking in Rome, Greco-Roman culture, separated body and spirit, just a real distortion. So the body was either completely worshipped as godlike or completely devalued and didn't count at all and you could do whatever you like with it. But what Jewish thinking does and what Jesus has brought is this thing called wholeness, a shalom, which is a reintegration, like Helen was talking about spirit, soul, mind and body. It all comes together. So what self-governance or self-control is about is simply moving as one whole being. We are not worshipping and we're not trashing. We are walking as one whole being in charge of our lives, doing life well. Does that make sense? And that's the vision that he has for us. Another thing about self-control, which I think is misunderstood, is it's not just about abstaining. In fact, the more I press into it, it's more about engaging. So we do abstain from things, but in order to engage at the right time. So if one of the things God has told me, and I've been a toddler kicking and screaming over this one, is eat 3 meals a day. That sounds so basic to anyone else. But for me, that means not eating in before, not eating after, not just whenever I feel like it, but actually, and I do a lot of cooking, so does Chris, but I do a lot of cooking. So that involves learning to abstain until the proper time to eat. And there's this lovely verse in Ecclesiastes, one of my favourites, that Becca also spoke out this morning, which is, God makes everything beautiful in its time. And what often a lack of self-control simply robs us of the beauty of that moment, of the appropriate time. Everyone's sitting down, family together. We eat now. There's a glory to that that you just don't get in snacking. I don't get for my own metabolism and my own life and my own revelation from God any other way. There's a beauty and a dignity to abstaining in order to engage at the right time. So some things we may be called to abstain from the rest of our lives. But what I'm interested in is, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, don't worry about food, clothes and money. Now those things we have to actually engage with every day of our lives. We always have to eat, we make sure we're dressed, and we need money to live. So what he wants us to live is not having to abstain, but being free enough to abstain in order to engage at the right time. So self-control could be abstaining from having to finish the thing I'm doing quickly in order to engage with connectedness with my children. That can look like self-control for me. Abstaining from working that extra bit, that extra couple of hours here, that extra bit there, in order to have proper rest time, in order to be fully functional. Like, Chris is brilliant at this. You might not know this, but for 4 years, he's basically been training as a pastor, as a minister. And he's just finished, which is fantastic. 4 weekends a year, he'd go away, and every Tuesday. So he'd map out weeks and months in advance exactly what that Tuesday required. So he was never stressed, never overworked, always knew exactly what he had to do. The self-control to do that meant that all our lives were peaceful and joyful. The weekends he took away, Saturday was his day off, normally, and it's really crucial that we have that as a good family time. So he would take a Wednesday or Thursday afternoon off as half day and a Monday morning. Whatever was going on, whatever the sense or the pressure, he's like, this looks like self-control for me. And it worked. It worked absolutely. There's something so liberating about being in charge of our own lives. And repentance, metanoia, this change of life, Paul talks about it as changing your mindset and your behaviour in order that you may live a life with no regrets. There's a way we can live that has no regrets. Isn't that incredible? An invitation now that we never need to regret any word we say, any decision we make, any action, because it's that fullness of life that we can enter into because he so kindly leads us there. So what is the secret? For me, what was the secret of moving from A, where I was, to B, increasingly, obviously, for the rest of my life, but to a certain degree of breakthrough that I've received of self-control now? So let's look at this passage that we've been looking at about living in the promised land, 1 Peter 1, 3 to 11. Now, 2 Peter 1. Something I want to draw attention to is the word knowledge. Again, thinking of Greek understanding of knowledge and Jewish mindset. So Greek understanding of knowledge would be a reasonable knowledge, like 1 + 1 = 2, and that's a great form of knowledge, and that helps us get a long way. But the knowledge that the scriptures all often engage with is a connectedness form of knowledge. Well, like Adam, some of the versions, it says Adam knew Eve. And that was that understanding, you know someone, there's an intimacy with them. So Jesus knew the Father. He knows us. And it isn't that he just knows about us. He actually has intimate connectedness with us. What I want us to really note when we read this out together is the word knowledge. Because that's the sandwich of intimacy. You see these virtues appear in the middle, like the Marmite and jam in the bagel. And then each side you have this word knowledge, which is really meaning, every time you read knowledge, just read intimate connectedness with the Father. And then you understand that's what it's trying to mean. Not a Greek understanding of I know about him, that he has these attributes, but I actually experience him. So, Chris, would you be able to read out 2 Peter 1 from... Would you be able to read out from that version? I know, but it's good to keep us on.
So 2 Peter is kind of near the end of the Bible, if you want to find it. It's what page is it, Ben? 1029. Sarah, do you concur? 938. Okay. In that red one. Okay. So it's near the end. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 11. So I'm reading in a different version to the one that most of you have got. So it'll be slightly different. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these things, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Anne. So there's this sandwich of intimacy. In the first bit, it's about a knowledge of him, his goodness, so his glory, who he is, and his goodness, what he does and what he's like. And then there's the word knowledge at the end, afterwards. It will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge and your intimacy and your connectedness with him. So what we're going to talk about is, I'm talking a lot about bicycles at the moment. I've started a blog on this sort of way of life. I've started it last week and to accompany this series. And this week the blog will be on sort of a bit more on what I'm talking about today. But in order to ride a bicycle well, you need to put your feet on both pedals. If you just put them on one, you go round in circles and fall that way. If you put your foot just on the other side, you go round in circles and fall that way. And the bicycle is putting our foot on the grace of God, the goodness of God, his kindness. He pours out, he pursues us. And so on this one pedal, and then on the other pedal, our response, our jurisdiction, our domain, our choice, our free will, our stepping up. And if we regularly, minute by minute, do both, then we enjoy a good and a fruitful, productive life. But if we lean too much into our own effort, our own striving, and disconnect, then we can fall off. But too much into a sort of passive mindset of it's all him, it doesn't really matter what I do, then we fall off that way. And this is an engagement and a stepping up into prolific partnership with him. So why I talk about the sandwich of intimacy so much is the context is his love, his goodness, his pursuit. He's done all the work. He's just put right everything that was wrong in his death and resurrection on the cross. He's given us all the power we need already by the Holy Spirit, and all the victory and all the identity we need. All of that is already done. He's already given us his divine power. It's one of my favourite mantra verses in the Bible. His divine power has already given us all we need for life and godliness. And that's our starting point. And that's, if you like, one of the pedals. But then in the middle, if you note, you have this section, therefore make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and then love and perseverance and self-control and these other virtues. And why I've talked about sustainability today is because, as I said, we don't want to build a kingdom. You can't build a kingdom by accident or osmosis. You build a kingdom by complete and full intentionality, and that's what we're doing here in partnership with many other people who are across the city and beyond. We are very, very focused on building a kingdom that will last forever, and that requires incredible amounts of love, obviously, just love, 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 and also some self-control within that to navigate what it looks like on a daily basis. So when you hear me talk and emphasize self-control, remember it's one side of the pedal. okay, and there's a bicycle, there's a bigger picture going on. So the first thing I needed to do was get connected with God. Not just know about him, but actually get connected with him. Hear his voice for me, personally, on the relationships he was calling me to, where he was calling me to live, who he was calling me to get married to. Just get connected with him. That formed a massive amount of self-control. Because once I was connected with him, I could suddenly see clearly on so many different aspects of my life. If I'm married to one person in this country, you can't be married to another. You know, that's something you choose. Everything you choose is cost something, and you pay the price and you get the reward for whatever you want. If you want to work very hard and make loads of money, you pay the price in certain ways. If you want to do other things, there's always a cost and reward. And self-control comes naturally out of connectedness with the Father. And the other things that started to come into place were things like that are always true in the scripture. So what's always true is things like generosity over withholding. It's just a way of life. Err on the side of generosity. Just live with Boaz, this wonderful entrepreneur in the Old Testament. He just always had gleanings at the end of his sort of harvest for anyone to just pick up. Just he always released just that extra bit. So always move into generosity. But the self-control required to pay the price of that and to know. So a few years ago, as I said, I was always in debt. I never would have known the price of milk. So people say, these people are so out of touch and don't know the price of milk. I was like, yeah, I don't know the price of milk. I'm out of touch. Now I know the exact price of milk. 89p in Aldi, £1 in Sainsbury's is a 4-pint whole milk, £1 in Sainsbury's, Co-op or Waitrose. However, we've moved to organic because we make our own kefir yogurt. So it's £1.89 in either Sainsbury's or Waitrose. But if you get two, you can get them for £3, which is £1.50 in Co-op, and that's the milk we get. Because I've learned self-control with my finances, so I pay a price for everything. And I think paying £1.50, so we get 6 4-pinters a week, so about £7 more a week than if we were getting Aldi, £35 more a month. But we think that's worth it, the investment into our body, the livestock, and the environment to get that. That's our choice, and that's the price we paid. And the rule we get is probiotic health every day, which I didn't have. I had awful stomachs with my past. So self-control comes in, it's coming in naturally, isn't it? Through intimacy, through connectedness, through reading the scripture, through taking it seriously. Then the working of circumstances. So I am now in a context where I am married. I have 3 children, 7, 5, and 3. I live really close. This is where we're pouring in and pouring into this community. And so that will naturally inform a number of decisions I make. And within that, I need to exercise self-control to keep contending for that. So one example is I was asked to do be a godparent somewhere and do be at their place, which is not near here. It's in another city in the country, on a Sunday morning to be there for the christening or dedication. And this is step by step. It's spirit by spirit. But it's just kind of giving some example. I just knew it just didn't sit right, because actually it's here we're building. This is where we're here every Sunday, apart from we have 2 or 3 off in August and 2 off because we're building our family and our marriage, and we have 2 off in elder weekends away because we're building elders to build hope. So this is where we are. This is what we're building. And my brother went to war, to the Iraq, the Gulf War too. And it just helped me see a lot about what it's like when you step into an army, because you don't just necessarily just go out to the cinema. Sometimes you do in his situation. And for me, it was like, oh, yeah, OK, we're just building something. We're fighting for something. We're standing for something. That means we put our colours to the mast here. We build here. And that requires self-control sometimes. And then the other self-control it requires, of course, is to trust God that he's building, he's doing it, and that sometimes we take time out to build something else. Does that make sense? You fall off when you disconnect on this issue. But when in that increasing connectedness, it becomes increasingly clear how to live and how to live well and to rebuild those broken walls. So we find a daily rhythm of our lives which enables us to live sustainably and for the long haul. So our aim is within our jurisdiction and our domain, never to burn out, never to get sick or anything like that, just to be fully well, fully healthy, fully functional. And so as much as we are given, as much domain we're given, we will step into that, as much wisdom as we have from friends, from science, anything like that, from direct revelation, we will step into what wholeness and wellness looks like. So this sounds really basic, but we eat 3 meals a day. We exercise a few times a week or build it into our weekly rhythm. We sleep at least 7 hours a night. And we have an evening rhythm where we're building elders and leaders, building friendships, building rest, building date nights across the thing, and a Bible course I'm developing. And then we make sure in the day we're deeply connected with each other, with Silas and Annie, with a friend, close friends we're walking in accountability with. Those are non-negotiables. I have a morning off, Monday morning, where it's totally just me with the Lord. That's non-negotiable. And however, whatever is going on, that is just like petrol to fuel me. And I just love that. On top of good bits of daily stuff. We have one proper family time each week. We have family, little bits of family time each day. We have we eat together as a family every morning and breakfast every evening. We have Bible time every morning. Chris does that with our children. We we take our children swimming because we want them to learn to swim. I think other things don't matter as much, but there are certain things that matter. And so that, again, so these are the building blocks in my life. So I have 5 hours in the week after I wake up time, 7:30, and their bedtime, about 7:30, where I'm on my own, 5 hours. So I have to be really self-controlled in how I spend that, in alignment with building connectedness with God, with Chris, with the family, with my close friends, with this community. You know, those 5 hours, it becomes very clear how to spend them. And I often don't really need to go much more beyond that immediate instinct. I also have another mantra verse that I live by that helps me. Not only his divine power has given me everything I need for life and godliness, that's this passage, but also it's clearly a mantra verse. So deep within my consciousness, I've completely forgotten it. Wisdom, James 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So I know a birthright and inheritance is wisdom, that I will have wisdom. However, another aspect of self-control is connectedness with other people. So some ways, and lots of ways actually, he gives wisdom are through the body. He loves the body working together. He loves our wholeness. He loves that I bring something very different to someone else, to someone else, to someone else. And the beauty of our agreement, the beauty of our coming together, often brings a greater revelation than my own individual insight. So often he guarantees me wisdom, but he doesn't necessarily guarantee the wisdom in the way I might want to receive it, in a safe me and him kind of way. In fact, most of the ways he brings wisdom to me are through other amazing people around me. So that's another aspect of self-control, is having the self-control to abstain from independence and engage with connectedness and community, because it's so, so much richer. We also have a vision to build local community, so we pour into friendships, play dates, weekly prayers for Hotwell School. I run the Mums and Toddlers group here, co-chair the PTA, and am engaged at most, and so is Chris, at most drop-offs and pick-ups. And fortnightly, we do have a worshipping community in partnership with the other church. These are little examples of how we build our life for sustainability in the long haul for our goal, right at the end of our lives. Twice a year, Chris and I have time away together on our own. And once a year, on top of that, we go to the most amazing conference that we can find, like a European Leaders Advance or Randy Clark came here, something that we know will just give us what we need for the next season. And then we have family time, we have family month in August, so we have daily, weekly, monthly, yearly rhythms. Within that, you might think there's a rigidity, but I found completely the opposite. I found my old way of life was all over the place, and had not much space for anything because I didn't really know what I was doing. But this way of life, there's so much room for flexibility and spontaneity because I know exactly what I'm doing. Does that make sense? It's the opposite. If we lay down our life, we really do find it. But if we try and hold on to it, we really do lose it. And that's my experience. I found every day I do some Thanksgiving time with the Lord. And one of the things, every day he gives me presents. Every day he shows me something that, you know, and I'm postured because everything's about connectedness and everything's about coming into agreement with that. I'm postured to receive that from him, which, as much as he was probably wanting to in the past, I just wasn't there. I wasn't connected and I didn't have the self-control to be in the right place at the right time. Now, as Chris and my close friends will tell you, this is not something I've anywhere near got a full handle on. I struggle and contend for this and fight for this for a mindset every day. But I have tasted enough of the fruit of it to know that it works, and that's the way I'm going to live. And would highly recommend it and would love everyone to have that sense of full purpose, and within that full purpose, a kind of self-control to be able to live it sustainably for the long haul. So the reason I gave everyone balloons was because it talks about growing in increasing measure in these things. So we don't need to focus on one thing at a time. I'll bring you back to the bigger picture. He says, grow in your faith, which initially connects with you, in goodness. There are good works for us to do, to pour into all the time. It's just an invitation. Jesus says, he quotes from the law. He says, the poor you'll always have with me. And the quote from the law is, and you can help them whenever you like. There is freedom for good works whenever we like. Faith, there's goodness. We press into knowledge. We press into self-control. We've talked about that today. Perseverance, I'm going to do a part two next week on perseverance. Godliness, about the purity that actually is loving well. When we're in impurity, we don't love well. So in order to love well, we contend for purity. Mutual affection or brotherly kindness, which is another understanding of love, and love finally at the end. So if we blowed up those balloons and we blow all of them, we make every effort to add to all of them in our lives and see all of them increase, and then you get lots of balloons and a nice sandwich and it's like you're having a party. The end.
So self-control by its very nature is individual. We know original design in this church. Everybody is individual. And I wonder, actually, Tim, can you just come and give us some music? If you've got children to collect, I'm really sorry, you're going to need to whiz out and collect them, but maybe you could do it on your way. We're going to have a bit of time where there's some background where you can have a think about, okay, so what does this mean for you? What is God saying to you? What is the thing that he wants to press in with you now? While Tim's playing some music, have a think about it. And then at the right time, maybe turn to the person next to you, share it with them, pray about it. Because if you say it to someone else, you're more likely to follow it up and do something with God about it. So when you're ready, find someone else to share it with and pray with. So may the love and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep you in the knowledge, that's the everyday experience of God in your lives this week. And we'll see you next week.